Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's all stand. Let's give it for him in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we gather here this morning, Lord, with the thanksgiving in our hearts. Lord, a blessed peace. Lord, we appreciate you, Lord, for everything you've done, for the desire you placed in our hearts to be here this morning. Lord, we just ask that you have your way in this service. Everything that's said and done be for your glory and your honor. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
May be seated. Page 5, and only believe. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from. May Amen. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Christ only, all. Amen. Want him to have his own way? Amen. Page 266, same book. Because he lives. Amen. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to life. He this morning.
gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, truly how great you are.
Yes.
We are so thankful for all your many blessings to us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy in our lives, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity once more you've given us, the
yes.
health and strength, Lord, you granted to us once more to gather with our brothers and sisters around your word. Lord, we ask that as your word comes forth this day, Lord, may it find that good ground in our hearts. Lord, may we draw closer to you this day. As we come to this portion, once more we ask that you'll bless this offering, Lord. Let it be used for the building of thy kingdom. We ask in your precious holy name, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful Jesus, bright morning star. Wonderful Jesus, bright morning star, lily of the valley. So glad I know you. Oh, yes, I do. Hallelujah. Amen. Wonderful Jesus. Raising her hand. Just keep all those that's sick and afflicted in your thoughts and prayers. And Brother Bobby, Sister Marilyn, always keep them on your heart. Brother Tim, would you ask to take the request this morning?
Precious Lord, we are truly grateful for this opportunity.
Amen.
This morning to come together. Lord, we've truly come with anxious hearts, waiting upon you, Lord, to speak to us through your precious word.
Yes.
Lord, as we come to this portion, Lord, we see that some are missing, Lord, this morning. Maybe weak in the flesh, Lord, due to a virus or something. Lord, we just ask that you would touch them, Lord, and bless them. And Lord, we always want to make sure we uphold brothers Bobby and Sister Gatmeyer, Lord, and any others, Lord, that are truly maybe something need a special need in their life. Lord, we just ask that you know all about us, Lord. You know what we have need of. And Lord, we just know that you are our great provider.
Yes.
And Lord, we cast all of our cares upon you. And we just ask, Lord, that this morning as the word comes forth, Lord, that we be set with attentive hearts, speak to our hearts, Lord, and may we draw upon our minister as he brings forth your word. And Lord, just grant us revelation we ask. And Lord, that each and every other hand that was raised signifying a need, Lord, we just ask that you would move it according to your will. And we'll never fail to see that you receive all the glory and the honor for it all. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior.
Amen. You may be seated. Anyone got a special this morning? Anyone at all? Well, let's all stand. Lord, I believe. As we ask our pastor to come, lay what the Lord's laid on his heart. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe all things are
Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you again. We never want to fail to thank you for every opportunity you give us, Lord, to gather together with saints of like precious faith and to gather around your precious word. For Lord, how we see as the days go on and the more we understand, the more you've been given to us, that Lord Jesus, how much more we need you. It's dangerous times, Lord, as Apostle Paul said it would be. Very perilous. But yet, Lord, through all those perilous times, you predestinated a seed. Lord, life for even this last age. That, Father, there'd be a people that would rise above all the carnality, all the distractions, all the different spirits of, Lord, different things that's contrary to your word. But we just ask, Lord, you help us today on this little subject today. Help us to see ourselves, Lord, as you see us, not as we see ourselves. Lord, it's not wise to measure ourselves up by ourselves. But Lord, we must always measure ourselves up by the word of God. And that's what we're here for today. So we ask that you would help us now and listen closely. And don't let any of us, Lord, push you away. And Lord, you are the word. So we ask that you'd help us now. Help us to yield to you, to get our portion that we may have need of today. In your glorious, precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. My, he's precious. Is he real to you?
Amen.
Oh, I hope he is. Amen. We're getting close for the appearing of the Lord. Don't know when, but we know it's close. Amen. Don't you believe so?
Amen.
Amen. Let us turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians. Read a very familiar scripture. It's kind of strange how the Lord laid this on my heart. I've been on the little subject, the thoughts of God. The thoughts of God are eternal. As he said, are they not? I say, amen, they are. You know, but yet it just seemed like there was something for this morning the Lord wanted me to bring. Actually, he laid it on my heart very early Friday morning. And with all intentions, I was thinking of coming today or be Sunday to go back in that little subject, but not yet, maybe this evening. But there's a little something here that we must make sure we are right with God. And you remember the message I brought Thursday night, just a little simple little message on, you know, being chastened of the Lord and being rebuked, and, you know, some can't take it, but the little predestinated seed will. You know, she's been sent for that, and she understands the very purpose of it. And, you know, what I bring today and renew your minds back to may chasten you a little bit, you know. But, you know, if you need it, then just say, Lord, I accept it. I need this. And it's very simple, a very simple subject. And I it's one of the things, again, I just kind of question, Lord, is this really what you want me to bring, you know? But I can't get away from it, so this is what we're going to bring. So let's read here in 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, and we'll just read the first maybe three verses, and I'll have you sit down. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, which is love, I am become a sounding brass, or a tinkling cymbal. That's, in other words, just a bunch of noise. Okay? And though I have the gift of prophecy, now think of that. Gift of prophecy? My, that with divine inspiration, be able to prophesy and tell of future events, and it come to pass. Yeah. Have a gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. I'll think of that. Understand all mysteries. And think of what we was bringing out on the board there. Okay? And understand all mysteries. And have all knowledge. And though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. May the Lord bless you in his word. You may be seated. And as I was waiting on the Lord, just feeling directed to this, I thought, you know, look at all the wonderful mysteries and the knowledge of the word and all these great things. And of course, some may take it that, oh, my now, Brother Steve, he's going to say love is the evidence. By no means I'm saying love is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. The prophet straightens up on that. As the vision he was given and straightened up on that. But I feel this way about it. Okay, now the prophet, you know, when we talk about the shoe, you know, and the tongue is a part of the shoe. Is it not? Okay. I think you'll find out that love's part of the shoe too. You know? And again, we're not here to measure ourselves up about what we think maybe we're doing is love, but what the word says love is, you know. And if I don't, you know, I could maybe understand all mysteries and have all knowledge. Now, I didn't say it, Apostle Paul did. That was God's prophet then. So, do I take them words and do I really believe it, or is it just something in the Bible? You know, it sounds pretty good, but even Apostle Paul said, if any man come and bring anything or teach anything other than what I've already brought, let him be accursed. Right. Amen. And he also said it twice to make sure we got it. You know? So, what is this? I mean, my goodness, I could have all understanding. Understand all these mysteries. Have all knowledge. I didn't say partial. He never said partial all these things. Have all faith to remove mountains. Now, for us to look at that in a carnal way of thinking about it, we would just look at it and say, my, that's a great person. To have faith to remove mountains. To have this understanding all mysteries. To have all knowledge. This would be a great person in the message today. Would it not? Amen. A powerful person. You know? But Apostle Paul lets us understand that without love, all that's still nothing. And I kind of like to look at this in a way, you know, when he's talking about speaking in tongues, you know, is not the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, receiving the Holy Spirit. But it goes with it. And I kind of like to think of this love as the stitching that holds the shoe together. I think you'll see why I said it here in a little bit. Time I get done. And you know, a lot of people think they got love. But when you really go into the Word, and I won't have time to go into the fullness of it today, but when you really go into the Word, maybe we ain't got love like we should have. You know, even though sometimes our action shows we don't have to start with, you know, when somebody really reads that scripture and it shows what love is, what it does, and then we look at ourselves or look at somebody else and that love isn't there and it's not matching that scripture, we know, well, love ain't there, you know. We're not judging, just being a fruit inspector and say, well, where's love at, you know. I mean, the scripture tells us what love is, but where's it at when these circumstances and trials and tests in life come up? when maybe you're dealing with family or dealing with maybe the boss on the job or you're dealing with your associates you work with or you're going to the bank and working, dealing with the banker there or whatever it may be. You know? What do we really, really have? I mean, do we really have love? What he gave the expression and showed us in examples of what love would do. You see? Yeah, very elementary, very baby-fied sounding. But I'm going to preach it anyway. Sometimes people get themselves clear up here and they miss a rung and boy, ain't they going to crash. And crash bad. Yeah. And if God don't do something to let us see things like this, that's the one's friend that's going to come clear up here and he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You knew to do good and you did it not. Get lost. You're going to burn for maybe 1,000 years or more. Because you thought you were so right. You thought everything you was doing was just perfect. You were some great Christian. You understood all mysteries. You had all knowledge. You had faith to remove mountains. Get lost and burn for a long time. Yeah. Going to be a terrible sight on that day. Because of lacking the simple things that people think are babyfied. We had long time ago. We had this many times. Yeah. That's often the things that's going to cause people to be lost. So the things our Lord Jesus done and said, are they little? Are they of no importance? These little, they call it stories in the Bible? That they've put in little storybooks for children to read and so forth. These are just stories. They're little things, you know. It's, oh, well, I want revelation. I want revelation of this great mystery. What about the simplicity of God that people miss so easily? And they think they're so big, so mighty, so powerful. Well, my, yes, they could remove mountains. They could prophesy, foretell things that was to come in the future and take place by divine inspiration. Yeah. And still be nothing. Absolutely nothing. Wow. That ain't good when God says it's nothing. Wouldn't want to come up on that end of the stick. You're nothing. Get out of here. You've got all these things, and you knew what to do. You heard things from a child, and still, you overlooked it, seeking some great revelation. Which is fine. We must have revelation. But friends, all part of the shoe. It's nothing that can be done away with. And you see it so much in this message. You see people get a few mysteries under their belt and they don't think they have to keep this word. They don't have to keep that word. They're so far above all that little stuff they think it is. You'll find out one of these days how many mystery-knowing people are lost. Yeah. How many knowledgeable people of the word is lost. And the life of Jesus Christ can even really come forth. See? He says, just go on to read verse 4. We'll just use love because I want to make sure it sinks in. This is what charity is, even Brother Bram said it was. Love suffereth long. Now, I want you to think of that. That's to have long, enduring patience. Suffer the long. And if anybody gave the example of suffering long, it was our Lord Jesus. Our Heavenly Father is so long-suffering with us. I mean, to think of it, you know, he gives us precious, pure, unadulterated Word of God through his mouthpiece, that prophet of the age. So pure and so right. And then some take years to do anything it says to do. some never do get around to it. Love suffered long and is kind. Oh my. Do good things. Do good things to others and for others. Do helpful things. Right things. Being kind, thoughtful. Love envieth not. It don't have no hatred. It don't have no anger. No. It don't try to get at somebody. It don't try to get under somebody's skin. No. Love vaunteth not itself. It don't boast. I done this, and I know this, and I do this, and I know that, and I do this. I work with men like that. But there's a lot of so-called Christians that do that too. I know this, and I do this, and I do this, and I've done this, and this, and that, and the other. That's all you get done here. It's what they've done. And they never remember to say, it's by the grace of God. That's a little tattle sign. That they're boasting themselves when it's not by the grace of God. And then their life shows that they ain't thinking about God's grace. It's what they've done and accomplished. You ever hear preachers like that? Yeah, I have. It's all what they've done. There ain't no preacher can do anything without God's grace and do it right. None whatsoever. None. I don't care who they are. It's God's grace. It says, doth not behave itself. All right, let's back up. Vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. It's not proud. No. It knows it's saved by the grace of God. It knows it can't do anything other than through the grace of God. Yeah. Doth not behave itself unseemly. It's well behaved. Seeketh not her own. Seeketh not her own. It's thinking more on the things of others than their self, you see. Don't seek its own ambitions and wants. It's looking out for other people, other God's children, and what God needs done. Or is always looking out for everybody else. Yeah, instead of their self. You know, some men get to making money, you know, making good money, and it just turns into that's all it's about them. That's all it is, about them. No, don't care what anybody else needs or what they're going through. Who cares? I got myself to take care of. Yeah. Really do, huh? Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. There's a lot of Christians. They call themselves. They're still easily provoked. I mean, if just one little thing just goes a little bit south, they're just snapping. Yeah. And when they're at that point, friends, you'll see oftentimes that something will happen and it didn't even happen the way their thinking is interpreting it. And they snap. And then later to find out, oh, that isn't what it meant, or that isn't what they meant to say, or that it didn't go that way, did it? But they're just constantly on that edge of ready to snap. Yeah. Anger. Easily provoked. Easily. Just like he said, easily provoked. That is not love. You mean being easily provoked is not love? Absolutely, it's what he said. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. It don't see no joy. It don't see no happiness, friend. It does no rejoicing in something it knows to do good or somebody knows to do good and doeth it not. There's no fun about that. There's no rejoicing. There's no hee-hee-ha-ha laughing about it. No, friends. You know it grieves the Holy Spirit. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. How many times do we rejoice in people's iniquities? They know not they're supposed to not do that. And yet they do it anyway. And we think it's funny. Ha ha ha, did you see what Brother George did? Ha ha. He'll learn one these days, maybe. Ha ha. You don't rejoice in iniquity. No. Do we really love God? Do we really love, have this love for each other like he says? Oh my. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love rejoiceth in the truth. How many times have we all sit here and rejoiced when truth's coming forth and rejoiced over it? Some sit there like a bump on the log and they have no life whatsoever in their body. There ain't a lick of rejoicing over any truth. They might listen to one of the prophet's messages or something. And my, just the truth coming up. No rejoicing. Just, oh, I can't wait to get this done. I got to go out and do this. Huh. You poor, sad, unregenerated soul. Thinks you got all the love there is, and you think understanding these mysteries and having all this knowledge and having all faith to remove mountains is going to get you somewhere. Not unless it all is put together, friends. Yeah. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Yeah, when's the last time you tried to hide and kind of try to make sure you excused maybe somebody's failure and faults, and maybe they did, and instead of you going out there and just keep blasting, they did this and they did that and this did this and they did that, just trying to kill them like you never made a mistake. Oh, my. But it beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. There's a lot in life to go through. Do we have that love to endure all things? Does us endure all things when somebody's doing something to you? That maybe it ain't right. Maybe they aren't treating you just right. Maybe they didn't say just the right thing about you. But is it still going to endure? Huh? That when they do odd against you or evil things against you or say bad things against you, you'll bring forth back kind, gentle words. Yeah. Instead of trying to stand there and defend yourself. Could you imagine what this Bible would look like if Apostle Paul and John the Baptist and our Lord Jesus Christ and all these other apostles would sit there and argue and fuss why they would believe what they believe and this, that, and the other, and just put on a big stink and got hot under the collar and got provoked and everything. Could you imagine what that Bible would look like? It'd have been a mess. Could you imagine what the Bible today would look like with so-called Christians in this message? Wouldn't be a very good-looking Bible sometime, probably. Love never faileth. He said it, not me. I'm just repeating what he said. Love never faileth. Wow. Do I have that kind of love? Why didn't he say love fails once in a while? But he didn't say that, did he? Okay, so I'm this and I'm that, and I'll tell you what, it don't mean that. Oh, okay. Okay. But he said, love never faileth. My. But whether it be prophecies, they shall fail. Prophecies, yes. Whether it be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Wow. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. He said it. I'm just reading it. Okay. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. Now, I know that I can understand all mysteries and have all knowledge and have all faith to remove mountains. And if I don't have love, I'm nothing. When I become a man, understand it. Understand it. I know what he's talking about. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity or love. So, we find from that so far already love is important. And we must have love. Yeah. It's not a subject that we just throw out the door and say, well, this is not the day and the age for it. You show me where it was ever taken away. It's never taken away. No. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah. In Perseverance, June 19, 1964, the whole armor of God is supernatural. What is the armor of God? Love. What is love? Scientifically proved me there is such a thing as love. Can you prove it scientifically that there's love? No. That's what he's showing us here. Where is it at? He says, how many loves? He says, how many loves? He says, raise your hand, love your wife. Excuse me, or love your brother. Love your friends. Well, I want somebody, some science to prove to me what part of you is love. Where do you buy it at? What drugstore? I want a bunch of it. Love, joy. You got joy, he says? Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience. What is it? It's all supernatural. Wow. It's all supernatural. Isn't that something? And sometimes we just take these things so lightly. We get our little grudges. We don't want to call it that. You know, just don't look at and make it smudgy like that, Brother Steve. But we'll just say what it is. We get these little grudges against certain people. And it always shows up. Because you can't say nothing nice about them. Is that love? No. Can you see your brother in need and just close your bowels of compassion, just walk away and tell him you've got love? Can we do that? Oh my. Can we see maybe one of the brothers or sisters? Young people that may be going through something. And do you love them enough that you really even have a desire to pray for them? You see, they're going through something, maybe it's a little rough time. Or we got the attitude, they're on their own. They're a son of God. They can beat this battle. Okay, hot shot, wait till you go through yours. One that'll really just about drown you. Maybe you've never went through it yet, but wait till that opportunity comes. Yeah. You might sit there brave and strong and almighty right now. Praise God. I'll get through this on my own. You ain't going to get through nothing without Jesus Christ. Though we think we're something. Oh, we're so tough. We got love. What a staunch in God's nostrils. See? I'm going to read Matthew 5. It's up to you if you want to follow along. Matthew 5 and begin 38th verse. Just read a few things. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. But I say unto you, our Lord Jesus, I'm just going to tell you what it is. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Or is that when our concealed carry is going to come out? And, you're done, buddy. Oh, brother, I'm going to tell you, if somebody smacks me, I ain't going to let them get by with it because they ain't going to beat around on me. Oh? Well. So we changed that in 2020. If somebody smites me on one cheek, I'm going to bust him on the other. So we're going to change that in 2020 and still be a very religious message believer. You hypocrite. Yeah. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, go get the best lawyer there is. Oh, is that what he said? No. Anyway, he said, I'm just reading what he said now. So if you get upset with me, you just go ahead, but you're upset with the Lord. Because I'm telling you what our Lord Jesus himself said, and it didn't change for 2020. No. And if a man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Wouldn't it be the first time if somebody sued us for something, we go give them a little something else. Say, here, take this too. But we would sit back so aggravated and upset. He sued me and took this and he had no right to it. This and that. Oh. So we change things. Just like many people are doing in this message. Change whatever they want to change. Yeah. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Yeah. Give to him that ask of thee, from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. It's the kind of way some people's attitudes are. Maybe you've got a neighbor that's just really an agitator. No, can't stand him. Maybe a guy you work with, you just can't stand him. So it changed in 2020. For non-seed, it did. For the original seed, it didn't. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Wow. Kind of hard, is it? Then maybe you need something you didn't know you needed. Oh, we always got the thing, though, but brother, now listen, pastor. You don't understand what happened here. I got a reason that I hate this fella. So you do, huh? Tell the Lord on the day of judgment what your reason is. Let's see how flimsy it looks then. Yeah. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. My. Curse you? Do good to them? Oh, and Brother Steve, he just got to curse me. I ain't buying his lunch. Maybe that's what he needs, a little love showed to him. Maybe I'll show him something that'll make him very thirsty. Yeah. But we ain't got time for that. No, we don't have time for that. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. When's the last time you've done something good for somebody that hated you? You've done good to them, done something good for them. My neighbor, I have friends, I'm going to tell you what, he hates me. He's out there mowing grass. Did you offer to go up and walk up to him and say, hey, let me help you mow your grass for you? Oh, no, that would just start another fuss. Oh, would it really? Huh? Do we really know what love is? Sometimes I wonder. Such a simple subject, and so little people call it. Notice I said people call it. I don't call it that. It's just as big as anything else in God's Word. And pray for them. What? You think I'm going to pray for somebody that hates me and despitefully uses me? Oh my. And persecute you? Maybe days coming, friends, there'll be some more persecution come your way. Are you going to have enough love to pray for them? Or is your prayer going to be, Lord, take them out of my life. Destroy them. Get them out of my face. Oh. Could you imagine if our Lord Jesus would have prayed that way when he was hanging on the cross? And destroyed all of them. And he very well could have. Maybe it's a good thing many of us do not have what our Lord Jesus had. To call in 12 legions of angels to destroy? My, there might not be anybody around, some of us. They'd already all be dead. Because we'd want to see them destroyed. That ye may be the children of your Father, oh, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and send rain on the just and the unjust. God has a purpose for them all. See? For if ye love them which love you, oh, it's easy to love people you that love you. But now just try to put yourself in there now. Okay, you know, it's easy for me, one of you brothers, to love me. But now take and put that person there that does this hating towards you and persecutes you or does these things to you, and see if now you can have the same love. Your love may suffer long for me, and you're kind to me and gentle to me. But what about the person that hates you and despitefully uses you and reviles against you? Do you really, honestly, from the bottom of your heart, say you can love that person? Huh? We was in a pretty bad mess, friends, when our Lord Jesus Christ on that cross for us. He knew what our life was going to be like. He knew he was going to be born in sin, shape, iniquity. He knew we would lie and cheat, steal, do all filthy things. He knew that. But yet, he gave his life for us. Wow. Talk about love. Yeah. Yeah, but that person may never be a Christian. They may never come in Christ. How do you know? Maybe what they see from you come forth may stir something on the inside. Because you're just being salty. And they may want to drink. Yeah. So how do you know? How do you know the person that's coming against you and maybe speaking nasty to you ain't one day going to give their life to Christ? Well, I just don't think they will. How do you know? How do you know? You don't know. God knows. And that might have been the perfect contact for you to express Christ and this person to see that and then something begin to work on the inside more than ever. Wow. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? Sure, publicans, even sinners do that. I mean, they love people that love them. That's easy to do, you know. Ain't no problem there. But what about loving those that don't love you and hate you? And they're always trying to get under your skin, they say. You know? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Oh, my. Well, publicans, they salute their buddies, you know. Greetings, my friend. How are you, buddy? And all this, that, and the other. Yeah. You do your brother. Yeah, we had to go to Columbus yesterday. And my, talk about a bunch of grumpy people in Columbus. My, whew, I wouldn't want to live there. But it's just, you know, it's just what people's attitude are. I mean, you can say nice things and smile at them, and they just, wow. Thank you, Lord, that ain't all I got. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. You see? But just let it shine. Let a little smile shine. That one man, I'm sure when I walked past him and I smiled again, come back the other way, he gave me more of a, I just, you know? Yeah. Oh, my. It's so good to have Jesus in your life. My. Oh, my. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. After him just got done saying these things. Be ye perfect, complete, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Wow. After saying those things, I just got done reading. Wow. He must think something quite of importance of these things. Let me read you another one here, Matthew 25. And read this, the 31st verse beginning. I tried to hurry up. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Look how important these things is. Time. If it wasn't important, why did he put these things here? Yeah. This was his sheep on the right hand of him, friends. Come and inherit it. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. It must be important to him, these things. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered or thirst or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, as much as you did it not to one of these least, now listen to that, as much as you did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now think of that. And all these things he just got done saying there is expressions of love. Every last one of them. Yeah. The Good Samaritan. Let's read about that. Refresh your minds with that one before we go on. Let's go to Luke, the 10th chapter, and begin 25th verse. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. My. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Yeah. He wanted to see if he had another avenue, another channel to go through. Yeah. Some way he could pass it. And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. Oh, religious. Notice. You want us to understand religious. The priest was. He says, And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Well, nothing to do with it. He didn't have time for that. It's just a Samaritan. Or it's just an old person, you know, nothing to him, you know, just laying there half dead and he's been beat up and who cares about him? You know, who cares? Well, this wasn't a friend and it wasn't a buddy and it wasn't his brother. No. No. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Just everybody passing by when somebody's really in need. How many times do we pass by when somebody's in need? Or we're so self-minded on ourselves we can't even see somebody's need. Yeah. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Pay attention to that because we'll hit it here in a little bit. He had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Wow. Now think of this. He didn't know this man. By no means he knew this man. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out two pieces and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do likewise. But that changed in 2020. I'm sorry I even read that. That don't mean anything no more. So let's just leave today and never think anything of what I just got done reading, my friends. Did it change? No, it didn't. No, it didn't. I'm not saying things will happen exactly like this, but just what is our attitude toward God's Word? I mean, my. Do we really have love? You say, well, Brother Steve, I don't relate to love. We'll see here in a little bit. We'll see. But we're such a loving people, my Christians and message followers, and oh, we're such good people. My, will standing in the message and believe the prophet. Oh, my. Yeah. As I said before, there's going to be so many burning hell that knows everything Brother Branham said. Because something lacks. They forget. It's every word. It's every word. Well, I just might as well give up. We've got the attitude some people do. Because I ain't going to never be able to do all that. In yourself, you never will. What if that same Christ dwells in you that raised his body from the dead? Oh, and quickens your mortal body by that same Spirit. That's why the prophet said, who's this Melchizedek? And that Spirit is in there. And the Bible says, don't do this. Don't do that. The body quickly turns to it. But, oh, I'm sorry, friends. It's 2020. I guess we shouldn't preach on those things. You know, that's just, it just ain't going to happen today, you know? In the bride. True. Because she is concerned about every word that proceeds in the mouth of God. Whether all revelation's there, all knowledge and faith to move mountains, she wants to make sure the rest of it's there too. It's all part of the shoe. Yeah. Matthew 18. Just reading some of these things our Lord Jesus said. Matthew 18, begin 21st verse. Then came Peter, Matthew 18, 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Why? Now remember, to forgive is to keep it no longer and no longer hold it against him. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's 490 times. Wow. That's a lot of times for you, somebody for the same thing. Chances are it probably never happened. But 490 times of the same thing. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. I'll tell you, friends, I'm sure probably all of us owed that or more. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out after he'd been forgiven of his 10,000. And after he'd been forgiven all these things, you know, now he has the opportunity of somebody come to him that owes him. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Wasn't near what he just got done getting forgiven for. Wasn't near. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me as thou owest." And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And he would not, but went and cast him into prison. Remember, he was asked to be forgiven of a lot less than what he was forgiven of. A lot less. And friends, when we were forgiven of all what we were forgiven of, and then somebody does something to us and we must forgive them, don't you think that's a way less than what you was originally forgiven of? Oh, a lot different, friends. And then to hold something against and not forgive. I mean, really forgive. To push it aside, put it in the past, quit bringing it back. Yeah, it's gone. Do we really have love? Now, wait a minute, Brother Steve, you ain't talking about love. Well, let's just see here. Let's just see. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Now, this made it back to the Lord. What this other servant done. And the Lord knows what he just done for this servant. I forgive you of all this that you've done all your life. And now somebody does one thing against you, and you really, from your heart, can't forgive them. Wow. Then his Lord, after they had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked," what? Wicked. "I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his Lord was wroth, greatly angered, and delivered him to the tormentors. For what? Not forgiving. Till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts, that's the deep inner being, friends, where your passions are, ambitions, your affections, from your hearts, forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Wow. But you can always tell there's a little something there sometimes, because every time the opportunity comes up, it's, I remember when so-and-so done this. Oh, yes, I remember when it was. And you know, and it's still just hard for me to get over this. She would rather burn in hell than forgive that person for one thing they've done to you, when you've claimed that the Lord Jesus Christ forgave all your past sins when you come to Christ and still forgiven you, and you can't forgive your brother. Oh my, such a sad story. Colossians 3. Let's go back to that. Colossians 3, and we'll get into 12th verse in closing for this morning. Colossians 3 and 12. "Put on, therefore," now he's not talking about trying to act something out and put on, like a put on does things. You know, you put on this, they put on that, and they really ain't what they are. No, he's talking about be clothed, covered. put on therefore as the elect of God. Oh, these are the thoughts of God before the earth was ever formed. Wow. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels. I looked it up. It says, having a much deeper love, showing kindness, compassion, and tenderness. Bowels of mercies. It's just the manifestations of pity and mercy. Compassion. Kindness. Being good, being kind and gentle. Humbleness of mind, having a deep sense of your littleness. And he just told us where we read in 1 Corinthians, love is not puffed up. Yeah. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, that's gentle and mild. Long suffering. And he told us in love, love suffereth long. Isn't that what he said love was? Love suffereth long. Yes. Forbearing, which is continual enduring. Love endureth all things. In forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against thee, or any, even as Christ forgave you, do you remember what all he forgave you of? By his grace and mercy, I do. He forgave me of a lot of things. And I'll tell you what, there ain't no one sitting here that was forgiven of many, many things. If he really was forgiven, you went for Christ. Yes. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Amen. Oh, think of that. But do you really, from the depths of your heart? Oh my. So also do ye. And above all these things, be clothed or put on love. Clothed with love, which is the bound. Oh, the bound? Which is the bound? I looked it up. It says, the love that binds all these things together. Now think of that. It's a binding. Read it again. Above all these things, put on charity, which is love, which is the bond or the binding of perfection. Think of that, saints. You know, you can take and build a house. Some of you brothers have built houses, you know. Maybe you built barns and different things. But try to hold that together without any nails or without any screws. Oh, but love binds it all together. It binds all this together. All understanding. All knowledge, all faith. And with love, it's all put together. And it holds, and it endureth all things. You see? And above all these things, put on charity, which is bond of perfectness, which is spiritual flawlessness and completeness. My. Love? Love is that important? Yes, love is that important. You know, I remember of a time, a testimony was given of Brother Branham one time, and he was hunting javelina hogs. And the little contest was that, you know, whoever got the largest hog won this rifle. Y'all remember that little story? And his hog was definitely the biggest one. And he seen a little man there, you know, that really needed a new rifle. So what's he do? He leaves his hog in the back of the truck. so nobody will see it. Because this next in line was the feller that needed this rifle and really wanted this rifle. And he said, I would rather him have that rifle. I wonder how many of us do that. Maybe we had something come up and we was going to win a new automobile. Woo! Glory! I'm going to get a new automobile. And this brother's driving something that just barely keeps going all the time. And he's next in line maybe for it. And you just act like you don't know anything about it. Just let him go ahead and get it. Or would we want the attitude, I'll go ahead and give it and then I'll give it to him so people will know I gave it to him. Just remember, friends, God knows everything about us. He searcheth the reins. He knows the hearts. He knows everything about us. He knows our attitudes. I'll say again, as the prophet brought it out. He knows our very purpose of why we do and make our decisions. Yeah. But just something simple as that. Would we have done that? Poor little fellow over here, don't even know him. And he needed a new rifle, you know. I mean, he needed one, you know. And Brother Branham loved his rifles, he said. He even named some of them, you know. Blondie and different things. But still he seen and had compassion, had love. For somebody else to have something nice. Oh my. Now think of it, friends. When's the last time maybe you showed real love even to any stranger or a man associate on the job? Maybe your mother. Oh, maybe your daddy. There's young people come right in here. I can't stand their daddy. Yeah. Where do you think you're going to be on that day? Huh? Maybe you just don't care for your mama because she's this and she's that and this, that, and she does this and she does that. That's the time to show her something. Oh, but we're such spiritual, revelational people. The mysteries and all the knowledge and can remove mountains and have not love. You are absolutely nothing. Now, you might be bold and you might be brazen. And you might want to change something in there. But you change it without me following you. Because I will stay with that word. Because we got a lot of word changers. They change the word like people change lanes driving through Columbus. Yeah. Whatever suits them. Whatever way they can get by a little quicker or sneak around that. A bunch of hypocrites. But man shall not live but bread alone. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen. Now the word may have chastened you a little bit today. And you might have thought she was really hot stuff, you know. But I hope you can accept your chastisement. Because if you don't, you're a bastard. And our Heavenly Father is not your Father. No. Can we go on to that now? Knowing? We can understand all these great mysteries. I can have all the knowledge of it. I'm nothing without love. Faith to remove mountains. The gift of prophecy to foretell things to come and happen. And have not love. friends, one thing about it, I do believe the prophet truly showed love as our Lord Jesus Christ did. Many, many times you hear many testimonies of different things. And he always expressed he thought more of the things of others than the things of himself. Yes. Do we have that kind of love as being claimers of being a part of this great end time message? The word of life for this day, for this hour. And do we not have love? Some men ain't got enough love to even have enough patience for the wife. No. Thought you had all knowledge and understanding that she was the weaker vessel. Thought you knew all about this. I thought you knew all about this marriage divorce stuff and all this stuff. I thought you knew all about that. I thought you knew all about this scripture when Jesus, or the scripture was talking about, Paul was talking about, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. I thought you knew all that. Do we really know what love is? Do we really? And for a marriage to last, friends, you've got to have love. Sometimes the man is the problem. And they always want to blame the woman. Especially men in this message always want to blame it on the woman. When the man ain't got no more common sense than that rug on the floor does. Sorry to sound so stern, friends, but I'm wanting to make it in, and I'm trusting God will help every one of us make it in. Oh, my. God help us. Because we need him. What if him, the great test giver, would come down in our presence today and showed himself, knowing that he could look right down inside of us with them eyes. And how would we pass the test if he were to ask us, do you have this love that I had my servant remind you of today? Do you have this love? What are you going to be able to hide? Nothing. Now I'm going to tell you, young people ought to appreciate having parents that serve the Lord. You ought to appreciate parents that will tell you to do things, that will give you chores to do, teach you what work is about. Yeah. And show you responsibility. You ought to appreciate a parent like that. Because there ain't very many of them in this day and age. And they are to train you in the way that you should go. And you ain't always going to be young. You're going to have to grow up and work one of these days. And you may have to work hard. You may have to dig ditches. You may have to put roofs on. You may have to run concrete. You may have to do all kinds of things. That's not easy on flesh. But this life ain't about being easy on flesh. No. It's not about having no tests, no trials. It's not about that. It's about giving your whole life to Jesus Christ and letting him have the preeminence, regardless of what situation you have to be in. See? But you'll be thankful you got a parent that will train you in the way you should go. Take trash out? Yeah. Mow the grass? Yes. Oh, yeah. Do dishes? Yes. Change your bedclothes? Yes. Sweep your floor? Yes. At a young age, friends, we was made to clean our own room and so forth. Glad I did. I know how to clean now. I've heard men at work as cleanup friends, and they can't even clean a toilet bowl. They don't even know what to use. They wonder what the brush was that was behind the toilet. That's why they didn't brush their teeth with it. They're that ignorant. Because who? The parent. I don't know how it got on that, but anyway, it's true. It's true. That's why you got so many kids growing up anymore, don't know nothing. Absolutely nothing. And then they become adults and they can't even fix the toilet itself. Because they've never been trained in the way they should go. Never. You see? It's sad. And we call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves believers. And so many times, so many words, it's just pushed out the door. No wonder the prophet said, it'd be so very, very, very few. Very few. Amen. I love this little subject, love. I love it. It's a big subject. Amen. It's powerful. It's something that he requires that many do not do and many know nothing of. But, oh God, help us to understand. Amen. And that's even, you know, I've really been on my heart, too, as I said to go down and see Brother Geisinger, all of us get together. I would love to do that. You may have to put yourself out a little bit, you know. But I'm going to say this. If I have to miss Sunday service here to go down there, I will do it. Yes, I will. Amen. If that's the only time you can get together, I will do that. But that's how important I believe it is. Amen. That poor brother has been in there for years and went through terrible things. Yes, and still holds his integrity. He loves the Lord Jesus Christ, believes this message. He's my brother. Amen. Yes. And I believe it's our obligation as a family to go down there and do what we can to be with him and give him a little joy in his life. If you don't want to, fine. See you later. You must not have the love that I can see our Lord Jesus Christ required. Amen. I said, but Steve, you're awful stiff. Somebody's got to be. Because there ain't very many of this. Amen. You say, well, that wouldn't be right. Oh, it wouldn't. We could still have service at night if we have to. Or however we got to work it out. I don't know. But I would sure like to see as many of you go as you possibly can. Oh, Rusty, that's so far, all my lands. But you'll drive that far to fish in a lake. You'll drive that far to go to some mall and walk through a bunch of vanity. Yeah. What about your own brother? Christ. You can fire me anytime you want to. But guess what? I'll still be here. Yeah. Yeah. Go right ahead and try it. But if I had to preach to four walls, I'll preach to four walls. The walls might listen a little more than some people do. Yeah. All right, let us all stand. Amen to his precious word. I love his word. In closing prayer, I want to remember Greg Houston. Probably, I don't know if any of you know him. I know him. He was actually a couple grades behind me in school, but we've been asked to remember him in prayer, and we will do that. He's not in very good shape right now. He had to be taken back to ER. I was trying to think of the disease that he has. He's had for years. Is Hoskins? Hutchins? Lou Gehrig's, yes, Lou Gehrig's disease. And he was another one of them young men. When I went to school, well, he, like I say, he was a couple grades behind me, but he was a short, stocky fellow and just really big arms, you know, just he's really a tough little fella. And now just nothing, you know, it's just, and I'm sure his wife has been very faithful. She has taken care of him all these years in that condition and never left him. And I'm telling you, she's very good to this man. Very good. I mean, just completely has given her life to taking care of that man. And you don't see that very often. I mean, I've seen it many times where something happens like that to the husband, the wife's gone, you know, out with some other man. But this woman has stayed very faithful. Her name's Barb. And like I say, but we will do that and remember her in prayer and him in prayer. And only God knows what's there, if there's seed or what's going on. We just commit it unto him. Amen. Yes, bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of another service, and before we close and leave, we want to, this request that was given to us to remember Greg Houston and his wife Barb, we ask, Lord, that in your mercy and grace, Lord, just somehow, whatever you can see that would be your will, Lord, we ask that you would bless and help, Lord Jesus. And if nothing else, Lord, and sometimes myself, I just feel like I wish I could bless her, Lord, for being so loving and kind and being there as a stabilizer for her husband. And you just don't see very much anymore. It's just, it makes us appreciate when we see people like that. And Lord, we ask that you would touch their home and be with them, oh God. And if there's seed laying there, may something strike, Lord, before it's too late. And bring him in, you, Lord, and just may you have the glory and honor through it all. We commit it to your hands now in your holy name. And Father, as we part from this little building this morning, we thank you that you gave us this opportunity to be here and the desire to be here. And we greatly appreciate all that you do for us. And Father, sometimes these things that we get in carnal minds and we think it's just little things and we think it's, well, I don't see where that's so necessary. But Lord, you're the all-seeing eye. You know everything, Lord. You know all things about us. And we commit ourselves into your hands, Lord, for your care and your guidance. And that's what we come here for, Lord, for you to guide us and lead us. And Lord, show us our shortcomings, anything that wouldn't be pleasing to thee, O God. So just go with us now and protect us again. Keep us safe. And those that had to drive so far, Lord, watch over them, Lord. Bring us all back again the next appointed time. If you should tarry, be thy great will, Lord, and we should live. In your glorious, precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope I don't go out today and get fired. Amen. But I love you people. You must understand. I love you. That's why I throw the sticks, the rocks, whatever it takes to get your attention. I may say things in a might seem harmful, but if that's what it takes, you know, Brother Brown talked about going down that great cataract and throw those rocks or sticks at him, friend. You think that's going to feel good? Get hit on the head with a stick? That ain't going to feel good, friends. But friends, if you're true elect and you get chastened, it'll bring forth a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Amen. May God bless you. You're dismissed. Amen.